have a special person with me today, Ala.
Thank you.
I know this is your first one, you know, you never did a podcast before. So yeah. I'm honored to have you here.
Honestly, thank you for having me.
Of course. I have lots of questions for you, of course. One thing I actually want to talk about real quick is just your energy and stuff and having like a lot of energy. Sometimes people expect that from people. Like, I have energy too. Mm-hmm. People expect that maybe from you. Mm-hmm. But where does that come from? Like, where does your energy come from? You know?
I feel like growing up, I was always the person that wanted to like be friends with everybody. I just wanted to put myself out there. So I think the older I got, I was able to like just really be myself. So now when I walk into a room, I'm not walking into a room scared. Mm-hmm. I'm not walking into the room with like imposter syndrome. Mm-hmm. So I just want to be myself, and if it's giving good energy, then that's what I'm going to give.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
And like, I just want to get into your background, of course, like where you were raised and where are you from?
All right, so I am from South Etobicoke. I was born and raised there.
Yeah.
Went to the same elementary school, middle school, and high school.
So
I grew up in like the same neighborhood my whole life.
Yeah.
And after I graduated, I went to States for a little bit. I went to Alberta for a little bit.
What? How old were you when you went to the States?
After high school. So when everyone was going to like York and like TMU, I went to Alberta.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Dope. And like, was that for basketball or?
No, I just went to work. Honestly, I wasn't sure what I wanted to do in school. All my friends were going to school, and I knew I didn't want to get myself in debt.
Mm.
And both my sisters went to school for medical school, so I kind of had like a lot on my plate. So I just took some time off.
Were you pressured to go to school for that as well?
100%. I have two sisters that are doctors, so my mom wanted to make it like three.
Wow.
Yeah.
How many siblings do you have in total?
I have a lot. I have six from my mom and dad. My mom ended up having one child, and then my dad ended up having three kids, and then I have three stepbrothers as well.
Wow. Okay. And in terms of like, obviously you do things for the community and stuff.
Yeah.
When did that start?
Okay, so I co-founded Smile for Saatchi in 2020 when my brother passed away due to gun violence. And we just do projects all around the city, and that's kind of like the community work that I got into.
Okay. And I noticed you travel a lot, of course. I've seen you in like Africa. We just spoke off camera. You went to Rwanda.
Yes.
What was that like?
That looked
amazing, by the way.
No, it was really good. So in 2020, we made a GoFundMe, and we were able to raise $100,000 in 3 days for my younger brother.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
And that wasn't the intention. The intention was kind of like, when he passed away, the police were like, why did he have $200 in his pocket? Like, why did he have a BMW? So they were asking these questions, and I didn't want to go on the news and put my story out there. So I was like, you know what, let me just write this down, make a little GoFundMe, because he, like, prior to that, donated to a school in Somalia. So I was like, let me
really?
Just, yeah. He wow. gave my mom $2,000 to build, like, a roof for a school in Somalia before he passed away.
How old was he?
He was 20.
Wow. Yeah. A lot of young men aren't doing that.
And I couldn't believe it, because even when he gave my mom the money, I went to him, I was like, are you sure?
That's crazy. When I was 20, I wasn't thinking about initiatives at all. So that's impressive.
Yeah, and he went to me and he was like, whatever my mom wants to do, let her do it.
Wow.
So when that happened, I was like, you know, let me continue doing what he was doing. I made the GoFundMe and I put it out there. And literally within 3 days, he was able to raise $100,000 for himself.
Wow. It's powerful.
Yeah, and in Islam, it's like when you die, your good deeds, like the only good deeds are left are the charity you give, the knowledge you have, and if you have a child that like prays for you. Mm. So I knew that he didn't have a child. I don't know how much knowledge he knew. So I was like, charity. That's what I could do for him.
Mm. So that's amazing. And even like Smile for Saatchi, what does that mean? Like, where did that name come from?
He used to smile all the time. So the logo is his smile.
I like the logo a lot.
Yeah, the logo is his smile. And his nickname was Saatchi, like Versace. So we just stuck with his name, and he was always smiling. So I know a lot of people are like, ball for my bro, or like...
Ball for my bro. Yeah, that sounds pretty common.
Ball for my bro, or like something, something world, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like, I just want to do something positive, because even in Islam, it's like... smiling is sunnah, you know? It's something that you are like, you get good deeds for. So it's like, smile.
Mm. Okay, and then back to when you grew up, I know you said you moved to the, or you traveled to the States.
Mm-hmm.
How long were you out there for, and what were you, like, you were doing certain community work and stuff?
Not in the States.
Not in the States?
No, I just went out there. My dad lives in Ohio.
Okay.
So I went out there to just see something different, because I grew up in the same neighborhood in Toronto, the same area. So I was like, let me just go see something different. So I went over there, went to community college for like a year and a half. And then I realized, you know, let me just come back to Canada, because my younger brother, he was in Toronto by himself. And he's like, I don't have any siblings here. So I kind of moved back for him.
Yeah. Okay. And then what about your other siblings? Are they?
Everyone's all over the world. One of my sisters used to live in Barcelona. I have a sister in Florida.
So you have a lot of stories.
Yeah.
Okay, that's
awesome. Yeah, everyone's all over the place. So I don't have any siblings in Toronto right now.
Right now?
Yeah.
So you're the only one actively out
living
here.
In Toronto, yeah.
Wow. How did this get so big? Because you're pretty big.
Honestly.
I looked at your page. It looks amazing. You're growing your community, I can tell. And yeah, like, how did it get like that?
I think it's like the intention. When I started, I had no intention of making it a real nonprofit. I had no intention of it blowing up, me going to different countries. I didn't know what was going to come from it. All I knew is that I wanted to be like the best big sister and do what I could for him, you know?
Yeah.
So our flagship like initiative is in Ramadan. So we have the Feed and the Fasting program. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where a lot of our momentum came from, because every day for 30 days, we're feeding people wow. that are less fortunate. And every day is dedicated to someone who's passed away due to gun violence.
Wow.
So I started this maybe 3 years ago, and the intention was like just to give back food, because I'm like, that's something I could do for my brother, and it's like feeding a fasting person is like a great thing to do. So I implemented that, and then our first post on Instagram is Smile for Sachi, and then if you swipe, it says Smile for Blank.
Mm.
So that was my intention when I started this. It wasn't just for my brother, it was for everybody, because we all lost someone that passed away from gun violence, you know?
Yeah.
So in Ramadan, maybe like the fifth day of Ramadan, I was like, let's do it for someone else. I had a friend that passed away, Dino, you know, may Allah have mercy on him.
My condolences.
Thank you. I was able to do it for him. And then the next day I found basically a little database of like Somali boys or Muslim people that passed away due to gun violence. And then I started reaching out to people's families, and I'm like, hey, we're making food. Do you mind if we like do it on behalf of your brother, your cousin that passed away? And then that ended up bringing people to us. So now every day we have someone's family coming and them donating and them making the food or helping package the food. So I think because we gave everybody an opportunity in Toronto, and it's like downtown, it's Scarborough, it is Rexdale, it is Jane and Finch. It's like we have to break the barriers, because it's something above us. Like people are passing away, people are really dying, you know? So this can't be like, oh, my hood. No, we have one initiative, and it's giving back for the people that passed away. And I feel like those people, if they were here right now, they would want this to be done for themselves, you know?
Yeah. And in terms of, I guess, like giving back food and stuff like that, where do you guys get the food from? What's the breakdown of that?
So we started the Feeding the Fasting project with $2,000. And I thought $2,000 was going to last us a whole month.
Was it? It didn't last that long?
It lasted 4 days.
Wow.
It lasted 4 days because
it was expensive with inflation too, right?
It's expensive, and there's containers and bags and seasonings and oil.
Mm.
I was just thinking about meat and
like
rice and salad, you know? That's what I thought. But it was bigger than that. So the first, 4 days, we went through most of the money. And then I think on the fifth day, I was like, let me just try to do it for my friends. So I made the Instagram post, and I was like, smile for Dino. May Allah have mercy on him, and may the sadaqah jariyah that's being done for him be accepted. So let the ongoing charity be accepted for him. So I did that. And then after that, people were messaging on our Instagram, and they were like, can we do it for this person? Can we do it for this person? Can we do it for this person? So then we ended up raising $20,000 that month.
That same month?
Yeah. So first year we raised $20,000. Second year we raised $28,000.
Wow.
And this year I think we raised almost $40,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that, okay. So then you kind of learn like the format and how to make it stretch and stuff like
that.
Yeah. And then now it's just a huge community.
Now it's a huge community. And
how many people are involved in your whole organization?
In the organization or the Feed and Fasting?
Feed and Fasting.
Feed and Fasting, I would say this year, we said 500 plus, but I really feel like I saw 1,000 people this. Yeah.
Wow.
Because every day there was like 30 plus, it could be 40, it could be 50. Some days there were 60 people if it was the weekend. And these are people driving from all around Toronto to come package food. They're cleaning, throwing out garbage for charity, just to do something good. And no one knows each other.
No one knows each other?
No, half the people. So me, when I'm there, I'm sitting down, and I'm someone that, like, if you walk into a room, I'm going to greet you, mm-hmm. or I'm going to be, like, super friendly. Mm-hmm. So I'm sitting there, and a girl walks in, and I was like, hey, is it your first time here?
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah. And then I was like, oh, my God, congratulations. Good for you for putting yourself out there. You know, like, I know coming out somewhere where you don't know anybody could be a hard thing, but, like, congratulations to you for putting yourself out there.
Yeah.
And then she's like, don't make me cry. I didn't take it seriously because I was like, I don't know her, you know?
Yeah.
And then she's like, you don't understand. Like, don't make me cry. And I was like, okay. And then she's like, my grandfather and my cousin passed away, and I couldn't go to their funeral because I didn't have enough money for the flight. So this is the only thing I could do for them. And thank you.
Wow.
And she started crying, and I was like, oh my God, you never know what someone's going through.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So you really gotta, like, treat people well. Doesn't matter if you know them or not.
Yeah. And how did that make you feel, like, accomplishing something
like
that?
It made me feel so good because I was the person that was by myself that didn't, like, know if I was accepted in places. And to create that environment for people that I don't know,
yeah.
That's huge.
That's, like, amazing. That's amazing.
Like, that in itself, that was it for me.
Yeah.
Like, you know how you touch one person? Like, that was...
You felt accomplished.
Yeah,
right there. Yeah.
That was it.
Sometimes one person's words, you mm-hmm. don't know how powerful it could be to you, especially on your journey, right? Because you said you started with $2,000,
mm-hmm.
and then obviously $20,000, and it went so forth and so forth. But yeah. I find sometimes just one person's words can just keep your light going.
Yeah.
And keep it on.
Yeah.
So that's amazing. What about, like, a tough time? Or, like, a difficult time in trying to make a difference? Because obviously it's not easy giving back sometimes. Like, when you really try to do something, like, you can have an ideal, but when you go out there and try to do it, it's a lot more complicated.
100%. Like, there's hundreds of organizations. There's hundreds of people trying to do stuff, you
exactly.
know? And it's, like, what makes me special, or what makes, like, why do I want to come and support you, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's really God, because I don't understand, like... Not that I don't understand, like, I'm overwhelmed by all the support that I'm getting because I never thought that this would happen, mm. you know? I wasn't someone that knew a lot of people in Toronto. Like, I left after
really?
High school. Yeah, I left. I'm meeting a lot of people now.
So this is
someone
now
call happening. Me, someone call me an industry plant.
I'm not going to lie. Obviously, I wasn't familiar, but your page and just, like, your mission is crazy. Like, you're going fast.
You know what it is? I've been on the sidelines for so long watching.
Mm.
Like, I was on Instagram when Instagram came out. Like,
okay.
I remember every single person in Toronto, I was there watching, but I just was like, I never went outside to these places, so I didn't meet anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So even when I'm downtown, I'm like, oh, I've seen that person before, you mm-hmm. know? But.
So were you social growing up?
Yeah. So like, that's my friend from grade 5.
From grade 5?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's my friend from grade 5.
That's amazing. So,
he told me, he's like, you got this. Like,
yeah.
Don't worry, you got this.
Yeah.
But I was always social, and. Some, like, I'm doing a girls program right now, and I tell the girls, I'm like, be a good person, because right now, like, if someone asks about me, they'll be like, oh, Ally, I know her, she's such a sweet girl, like, I remember in high school, like, she was nice. That's what you want to be remembered for. You want to be remembered as, like, a good person, or like a kind person. So I'm glad that I stayed true to myself for all these years. I'm the same girl.
And touched a lot of people.
Yeah.
So it's just consistency and being who you are.
Yeah. So putting myself out there.
And then back to, like I said, just like a difficult time, like, you must have went through... You know, some lows, trying to build what you're building.
I've definitely had a few, you know, but I don't think I have enough money to, you know, talk about it right now. So I'm just going to, I'm just going to hug my corner.
Fair enough.
I'm going to hug my corner.
With that being said, money
yeah.
and resources and stuff, right? Do you feel like you have access and the support from people in position and, you know, other parties? Do you feel like you get you feel like you get the support you deserve right now? Because you're doing something major. I personally think you deserve everything.
Oh, you're so sweet.
I really do. That's why we're here. Like, you know, this is a different style for me as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously on Players Play, we do certain type of content, but mm-hmm. these type of things are important to me too. Like having conversations with people that are doing dope things.
Well, I'm glad, because I never would have thought that this would be my reality. And I think as of recently, more people are kind of tapping in or tuning in, because the work speaks for itself. In terms of support, you know, I'm more into, like, community over competition, and I don't know how other people feel about that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still just waiting, because I am a newer organization, so I'm just going to, like, wait and see what happens. For the support, like, I don't know, I got God supporting me right now, so God's the only, like, being that could give these people the heart to even support me. So if I just stay true to myself, I feel like people are going to tap in eventually.
Mm. And your organization, how many years has it been? You said
it's been three years. My mom's done community work for like 20 years though. So I've been in the realm. Like I started this because my mom was the one that would like sit on the bus with someone from my neighborhood that had court because their mom didn't speak English. Mm. My mom was the one that if you got spent at school, she's coming with you, you know? So I kind of like grew up like this. So it's easier for me to do the work that I'm doing. Yeah.
Okay.
But she didn't really get as much of support as she should have because she was a woman and, you know, it's still a business at the end of the day. Nonprofit is still business, you know?
Mm.
So.
So with that being said, like the business aspect of it, how do you focus on the good part of it when there's still such a business element attached to it?
I think it's because I went to school for marketing, so I kind of understand the business. Yeah,
you went to school for marketing?
Yeah,
okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, I went to school for marketing.
Okay, so do you feel like that helps?
100%.
In what you're doing now?
100%, because because I always told myself, I was like, you know, I'm going to school for marketing. I could work for any of these big brands, any of these like shoe brands or like these big brands that we know. Mm. And I thought about it. I was like, I would rather do something more meaningful. So for God to give me this opportunity, that's why I'm marketing this so much, because I'm like, I went to school for this. Might as well put in my own work. And if these brands want to tap in with us, they can tap in, you know? But
that's dope. And even like the hoodies and stuff, like it's all marketing inevitably.
Yeah. And it's funny because like everybody wants it.
I want one. Can I get one?
As a gallery.
All right, but I want one, for real. They're actually super, I like them. They're super cool. But okay, and then just like with doing community work and stuff like that, where do you want to take it in the years to come, you know?
I want to take it international, because like you said earlier, like I did go to Rwanda and I was able to give back there and it was...
Yeah, listen, we got to get into Rwanda. Yeah, how was that? How long were you there?
A month and a half. Or a month and like two,
that's,
a week?
That's a lengthy
Maybe
time.
Maybe a month. I don't remember. I was in Africa for a little bit.
Okay, that's a lengthy time.
Yeah.
And like, okay, what was that
experience?
I bought
a one-way.
You just went there. I never went.
That's like, I went to Africa before, but like, I never went to Rwanda.
Wow.
And it was so nice. Go on.
I was going to say, like, obviously the commercials,
yeah,
they always, you know, make Africa look bad.
It's cap.
I know.
It's cap.
I want to hear it. You're the source to
listen.
To what
there's a Kempinski, you know, Hotel in Kenya. I went to a resort in Mombasa one time and it was designer. Like, instead of DR, I would rather go over there.
Yeah?
Yes. You get like a bang for your buck.
What's the plane ticket though over there?
Honestly, I'm
keep
not.
It real.
I'm going to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah, you know, like, I really wanted to go, and I was like, God, give me a sign, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I went to my points to see how many points I had, mm-hmm. and then I was like, wow, I have almost, like, 200,000 points.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, let me see how much a ticket to Africa is, and I got it for $150. So I went to Rwanda for tax.
Wow. And just because you had so much points?
I had so much points.
Where do you get these?
On my Amex.
Oh, okay. That's pretty cool. Is that from like going grocery shopping? How do you collect points?
Yeah, when you just like swipe your card.
Oh, anytime?
Yeah.
Wow.
Big purchases, small purchases.
How many years do you think it took to build up all those points?
I got it recently. I only took a year.
And you went there for
$100? Yeah, $150.
Wow.
And it was lit, and I was in the airport lounge. Like,
that's it.
Work on your credit. That's another thing.
That's actually sick. Okay. So
I went over there. Yeah. I had a friend that I went to school with. She used to go to Humber College.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, hey, I want to come to Rwanda. And she's like, come through. Like, I live here. I got you. And I'm like, okay. So I pull up, and I come to her house. Why is it a mansion? And I literally am like, you're rich.
Wow.
And then she's like, I'm not rich. I'm like, girl, you're rich.
Wow.
I was like, this is...
That's sick.
This is Wakanda.
Yeah.
I was like, this is lit.
That's actually sick.
So...
Some Akon vibes.
Oh,
Senegal? You see how Akon's trying to build up the city? Yeah, that's sick.
I
want to
go there next.
Wow.
Akon's happen.
I want to go to Senegal too. He's building like a crazy... I want to get your take on that actually after.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I want to know what you
think. I'm down. I'm all about building back our community. But Africa was amazing. I went to go check out my friend, stay with her. And then I was like, yo, take me to the market, find me a community, and I want to go, like, buy stuff. So we went into, like, the actual market, like, where everybody is, sat there for hours, collected, like, different packages of, like, flour, oils, then, like, hygienic products, and then we went to a village, and I, like, filled up school bags, too, of, like, school books and pencil cases and all these things.
So your goal was to give back when you were there?
Yeah, my goal was to give back when I was there. I just wanted, like, I'm glad that she knew people and she was able to help me, because I couldn't have done it without her. I can't just come to Africa and just, you know.
So you had a network. And was that from, like, school?
Humber. I went to school with her in Humber. She was a girl in my class, and she was so smart. And I, like, I cultivated that relationship with her for 4 years, 3 years. So when it was time for me to go to Africa, I was like, hey, do you live in like Rwanda or Uganda? And she's like, I live in Rwanda, come through.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so I stay with my, I don't know, I try to like make sure I keep my connections.
No, that's dope, that's dope. And like, is there any other like people that you can remember that helped you along the way?
Oh my God, yes. So many people. And
you know how to market, you have a network based on you even going out there and mm-hmm. having a friend there. But yeah, is there anybody else that, you know, you can attribute to like helping you and stuff?
I feel like a lot of people. I had some friends that would like, it's just the small things. I had a friend from Alberta that every like 2 months she would always check in with me mm-hmm. after my brother passed away. Mm-hmm. And she would always be like congratulating me and like just checking in, like, hey, just checking in, are you doing good? Or hey, I'm so proud of you. So I think it was more of like small acts from different people in the community just messaging me and uplifting me and encouraging me, because the only reason I'm so like confident is the amount of love that I'm receiving. You know, like some people, they're just confident off being confident, but I needed my community to really push me because I was not going to put myself out there. Even the video I posted last week,
that was a great video, by the way.
That
was an amazing video.
That took everything out of me.
And I got a lot of love too from that video,
if you look at it. It's like 3 years of me, when you meet me, I'll maybe bring it up, but people not knowing what my story is and people wanting to know why I'm doing what I'm doing. I have a bunch of people that follow me on Instagram that just see me outside and they're just like, oh, wow, this is what you do? They're like, I didn't know. I just need to make it feel.
Why are you so enclosed?
I think growing up in like, just like my culture and my community as like, when I was younger, I was too scared to put myself out there. It was like the Toronto, like,
I know those ones.
Yeah. Your desk, like,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Toronto doesn't, it's not an open place to make you feel like you can put yourself out there. You have to be brave and confident to really
100%
just put yourself out there 100%. And get in front of the, you know, people.
And now I am. And everyone's like, how did you get like this? I'm like, you don't understand. Like, I was so reserved for so long. Like, only my friend group would get me. Mm-hmm. Like, you would get that Allah energy. Other than that, when I went outside, like, unless you talk to me, then I'm not going to, like, be myself. Mm-hmm. But it took... And just social media, you know, like I've been on social media. I could have put myself out there. I watched my friends get like hundreds of thousands of followers in my face. I'm just watching, you know, but I'm like, I can't do that. Mm-hmm. But the second I was like, why can't I do that? Mm-hmm. Why can't I put myself out there? Mm-hmm. I actually am cool in real life. Like, why don't I put myself out there? Mm-hmm. That's what it took.
Mm. With putting yourself out there, obviously sometimes comes negativity.
100%.
Have you gotten any of that?
And yeah.
How do you not let that affect you?
I think now I just don't care no more. Like, I don't know what it
is. You're just letting your light shine.
I just don't care. Like, what can you really do? You don't put no money in my pocket. You're broke. Like, you serve me no purpose. Like, you telling me I should do this, I should do that, when you're not even helping me, I'm not going to listen. You know?
Good point. People are just in the comments.
Everyone always wants to say something. Like, even when we first started, we were giving care packages downtown.
Yeah.
To the homeless people and, like, less fortunate people. And people were like, why are you giving stuff to people downtown? Like, why aren't you giving it to people back home? But when I start giving it to, like, start feeding people in Toronto, like, oh, why aren't you feeding people back home? When I start feeding people back home, they're like, it's always something else.
They're always going to find something to pick at.
And I'm like, I can make food. They'll be like, oh, but we wanted this.
They're always going to have, people always have something to say.
Mm-hmm.
And even, like, in our community right now, or even Toronto, it's obviously a tough time. The economy is going through a lot.
Yeah.
What do you say to the people that have lack of funds and are getting desperate? Because we see crimes and a lot of things are going up. People are just, you know, actively broad day just going to malls and stealing. And, you know, people feel like they're just in a desperate time. Like,
it's hard. There's no jobs for the teenagers. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't even get a job at McDonald's because...
I heard about that. I seen a Somali man talking about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did see that video, too.
You seen that video, right?
Yes.
So how accurate is that? Because he said, like, 15 years ago, he would have got a job easy.
We would have got a job. Like, yeah, I remember.
It's true.
It was
I worked at McDonald's.
But then again...
What jobs did you have growing
Timothy's
up?
World Coffee.
Okay. I never heard anyone work there.
I worked at National Sports for, like, most of my high school.
Okay. But, yeah, back to what that guy was saying, though. Like, what do you think about that? What's your thoughts on what he's
saying? It's also, like, society has changed, so it's, like, are kids going to work at McDonald's? Because the kids I see that are in high school are wearing purple jeans and Montclair, and they're dripped out. They're wearing Christian Louboutin shoes, and I'm like, how are you guys going to sustain this type of drip right now? Like, in 10 years... Alexander McQueen is going to stay the same.
True.
It's going to cost probably even more. So it's like, how are you going to sustain this life? So,
but what about the kids? It's like in our generation, they were buying Jordans too, kind of.
But we weren't buying drip like that.
There we weren't buying drip.
There was the same drip out, but we wouldn't dare.
We buy like one nice pair of shoes and we're good.
But they would be like Jordans. Right now, they're actually stepping. These kids are wearing Prada shoes.
But
how, that's you working at a job for a month.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like we need to break down this barrier of like, I don't know what.
So is it the kids wanting, is the kids' expectations too high and the jobs are just not available, or the job, like which one is it?
I think the jobs are not available and the kids' expectations are too high.
So it's just not meeting in the middle.
It's not meeting in the middle.
So then they're out there doing the most.
And now, and then if there's not a space for them to be, like even right now, most of the boys in our program, on our Smile Society program.
I have another question for you about that too. Yeah, sorry.
They're 14 to 18. Mm-hmm. And they come to our program and I'm like, they could be doing anything else and they're choosing to come and put themselves out there. Like we're doing a barbecue and we had them like plan out something they would want to do and they were all serious and they were really planning it out. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, they could be doing anything else but they're choosing to do this. Mm-hmm. So
that's true. And I just wanted to ask you, like, what's the perfect age to catch these young youth before they stray too far?
What would you say
based on your experience now?
I've personally been connecting with youth that are like in middle school to high school.
Middle school to high school.
But I feel like even elementary school would be somewhere where the kids, because the kids are fast now.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. It's hard to connect with them after a certain age. 100%. Because they have so much things going on. They see social media.
They see so much stuff.
Exactly. I work with kids doing basketball coaching. Yep. And these kids know everything going on in the media.
Yep.
So it's like their phones, they're glued to their phones. Mm-hmm. And you know, they're kind of a slave to their phone sometimes.
Yeah.
So it's like, how do you connect with these kids anymore? You have to incentivize them. I know there's a lot of things you have to do to keep these kids. You got to pay to play, right?
Yeah, you have to. So. It's funny because when I first met them, I didn't have a relationship with them, you know? And it's kind of hard to build a relationship with high schoolers. Like, that's the toughest crowd when you really think about it.
Yeah, because they think they're, like, grown.
They think it's so cool and, you know?
Yeah.
So when I met some of these kids, I kind of just, like, let them do their thing. I didn't, like, bother them. I just let them have their fun and then I would do stuff for them. Just take them to cool places and like do stuff for them. So slowly they start to like build respect for me because they're just like, oh, you know, like,
yeah,
she's gonna deal with me,
you
know?
Yeah.
And there's even like one kid I would have never thought. And this one, he has access to go probably do whatever he wants. He doesn't need to be here. Yeah. He comes from a neighborhood where he can go do anything he wants, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember I went up to him, I said, listen, I said, I will take you as far as I can take you. I will do as much as I can for you. I said, those people in your neighborhood, I said, they can't buy cars. They can just buy chains and they can just do things that are just surface level. I said, if you get to the stuff, if you really put yourself out there, if you start working, go to school, if you ask me for help, I will take you as far as I can take you. And literally the next day he messaged me, he's like, hey, Ala, just want to tell you that, like, I love you. And I'm like, love?
That's cute.
You love me?
So those little things.
Those little things.
They really pull deep into them. 100%. And their emotions and stuff.
Because even like just telling kids about opportunities, I'll be like, yo, guys, you want to come do this? And they'll be like, yo, yeah, I want to come. Mm. And I'll bring them with me. Like we went to House maybe like a month ago.
What's that?
House, it's the weekend. Their office. Yeah, okay. They have like a nonprofit downtown.
Okay.
And they were doing some like pitch and the co-founder was like, hey, bring some of your youth out there. I want to show them like what it is to like put, like it's like a Shark Tank thing. So I brought,
really?
Yeah, I brought like maybe like six boys. That's like four in high school and then four that were like in three in college. Mm. And I was like, come out here. Like, let's go look at a man with a corner office. Let's go look at like some boss stuff. Like, this is a real boss. I was like, this is what you guys think is not cool. Mm. So I brought them there and then they were just they were listening. They were just like, they were just taking it all in. And I'm like, yeah, this is what I want you guys to see. Like, and with me, like, I'm bringing them with me. Like, if you invite me somewhere, I'm going to be like, hey, can I bring, like, 10 kids? Mm. You know?
You got to come with everyone.
I went to Toronto FC. They wanted to highlight me. I was like, can I bring them?
That's dope.
You know? Because I'm like, well, I don't want to do this by myself.
Yeah.
I want to show them that, like, bring your friends, bring your entourage, like, put your friends on.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Is that your goal to inspire people? I know that probably wasn't your initial goal, right? Is it just comes off naturally just in who you are? Or
I think so, because like...
Do you now know you have a mission and now you are inspiring people and you're touching people?
Yeah.
Do you acknowledge that?
I acknowledge that now because I've received so many messages of people telling me that, but it like... God made these people come and tell me how much that, like, they appreciate me and how much I'm inspiring, because I don't know what I'm doing. Like, when I'm outside for 30 days, like, 30 days not being paid.
That's, you gotta really know what you're doing.
To go to, like, where the restaurants go buy their products from, like, that wholesale store, to break my back, to, like, put stuff in my car, to go interact with hundreds of people a day is a big deal. And wow. Sometimes I take myself in and I'm like, why am I doing this? And I'm like, because I like it. Even with basketball, like, I'll see myself going to watch people's games, going to stuff, and I'm like, why am I doing this?
I seen on your Instagram, you were at, like, some pro-am.
Yeah.
That looked cool.
Yeah, you know what I did that pro-am? It's so funny. So, I think I was doing Canada basketball. I was coaching coaching one of the teams.
Yeah.
And they were at Young and Dundas. And there was a pro-am starting that day. Mm-hmm. So, after the game was done, I, like, walked over to the pro-am. Mind I tell you, I don't know anybody, you know?
There's no way you didn't know anybody.
I didn't know
anyone. You look so, like... merged in.
Oh yeah, because guess what? I don't want to have imposter syndrome no more. I want to feel included. Whether you're going to include me or not, like, I'm coming. And I'm not going to bother you. I'm just going to hug my corner. I'm going to do my own thing, but, like, I'm not going to check in. I'm just here. You
just going to be involved.
I just want to be involved.
I could tell that, like, you're not letting nothing stop you.
No.
Like, so that's the goal for this
that's
year.
That's the goal, kind of, like, because you know what? If you give someone the opportunity to say no, they're going to say no, you know?
It's true.
Why am I going to give anyone the opportunity to say no to me? I can do it myself.
That's true.
You know? And if my community wants to help me, they're going to come along with me.
That's true.
Like, yeah. The pro-am, I walked over, I saw it, and I was like, okay, I'll come back next time. Came back next time, I took it in, I was like, I'll take a video. I was like, I'm good at taking videos. Went to school for marketing, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, you're going to make the best of it.
I'm going to make the best of it. So I started going there and meeting one of the guys that, like, runs it. End up coming back again, meeting some of the players, start following them on Instagram.
And are they like tapped in now?
I think now, after following me for a year, maybe they understand more of what I do, because I followed them and then went straight to Africa. Okay. So it's probably like, oh.
You went ghost on them.
They don't even know what I'm doing. Yeah. She's an Africa girl, you know? Yeah. I don't know.
They don't know you're even out here in the community.
But now, like, I went to Brody League last week, and two of the boys on my Instagram, literally, they're like, yo, that video you posted was dope.
It actually was. I seen it.
He's like, that was dope.
That dunk? That wind up? Nah, that looked crazy. That looked crazy. I was like, you look tapped in. So what about the youth, the boys in your youth? Are they would you tell them to play Brody and stuff? Are you trying to get them over? Or do you have to be like 18 or something?
I think that's an older one.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. I don't know. Okay. I know, like, older guys that play in it.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Makes sense. Probably want to just, like, do our own basketball stuff. We had a tournament in December, and we had it at TMU. Okay. So I brought most of, like, the East African Somali boys that play, like, college ball right now and used to play. Mm. And we had, like, a sick tournament, and they had a great time.
Yeah?
And yeah, it was a vibe.
That's dope.
Yeah.
So, okay.
I want to run it back.
You got to run that back.
I'll
come too.
Okay, for sure.
If I get an invite.
No, what? You're invited to everything.
Say no more.
We're having a barbecue on June 7th. It's for National Gun Violence Awareness Day.
Okay. So, yeah, I'll definitely try to come too. Yeah. Come through. I wanted to ask you, do you think there's a stigma when it comes to Somali men in Toronto?
Yes. And that's why I'm pushing, like, so much positivity within our community, because we are viewed as, like, violent and...
Why do you think that is?
Because there's a lot of killing and there's a lot of, like, death surrounding our community. We've went through a lot of, like, traumatic events, and we are first generation. We came from... like, a country that was affected by war. So to come here and we're still struggling a little bit, it's like, we need to, like, put ourselves out there and change the narrative, you know? Because even when I'm doing charity for people that passed away from gun violence, we're doing it for people that, like, basically what I'm trying to say, like, we're low-key breaking the barriers, because there's someone from this neighborhood and this neighborhood and this neighborhood that passed away, but everyone's posting about it, you know? So you could have your op neighborhood post the same smile for this brother. And it's like, we're doing good. So it's kind of like we're forcing everyone to, like, give back and come together. So I don't know how much that's going to benefit our community, but right now it seems like we're doing a good job, because everyone's so involved in it, and we all know this is for a good cause, and we haven't had an opportunity to do stuff like this. We're just always... hearing about a death or someone passing away, and we're all affected by it. Mm-hmm. So even now, I have all the boys are just so shocked of what we're doing, because they're like, we could pass away and this girl and this organization are going to do charity for us. So now they want to support, because they're just like, it could have been us. Mm-hmm. You know, because this is for everyone.
Mm-hmm. And even with like so many people passing away, what do you think about like life insurance and stuff like that, benefits like that? Do you believe in that?
Well, I'm Muslim, so we don't believe in life insurance.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
okay.
So we don't do life insurance. It's more of like what you're gonna leave behind, like I said earlier, you know, like you leave behind your good deeds, you know?
Oh, yeah, you said the three things.
Yeah, the three things.
What were those three things again?
When you pass away, you're left with charity, ongoing knowledge, and a child that prays for you.
What's that third one look like?
So that's having a righteous child, you know? Like giving offspring and having a kid that's going to continue doing charity for you, who's going to learn Quran for you, who's going to be like an amazing human being on this world, you know? Mm. Imagine you leaving that type of offspring. Mm. That's going to reward you in the hereafter, right? Mm. So I think it's just trying to be the best person you can be, because right now I'm not saying like I'm ready to die, but I feel like I'm working on being a better person so that when that happens, I'm going to have a community that does charity for me. Mm. When I look at it now, like if someone were to pass away in our feeding the fasting program, I feel like everyone would come. Because we all did something together. We all built a connection together, you know? Mm. People are meeting people they would never meet. Because where can we meet people in Toronto?
That's true. There's no real, like, hub.
There's nowhere to, like...
It's not really
and it not
cool,
be weird.
Yeah, yeah, it has to be still cool and, like, you
so
know,
now
accepting.
It's like we meet someone at Feeding the Fasting, and now when you see each other at Sherway or Yorkdale, you can like, say what up. Hey. It's not like the Toronto mental health where everyone's just walking by each other. We went to school with each other, you know?
Yeah.
Everyone needs to, like... Be nice. You don't need to be a guy for someone to say hi to you, you know? Like me, I'll walk into a room and maybe some people don't know who I am and then someone will be like, oh, that's Alan. They'll be like, oh my God, I heard so many great things about you. But I've been sitting there and like I've been talking to you, but someone else had to tell you that I was an interesting person, you know?
So being Somali and going into these corporate rooms, what does that look like? Because I know you're starting to rub shoulders with more, you know, government people and people that can actually change things and make a difference. I even seen Olivia
Chow.
Yes, I think I've seen a video of that.
Yes. We did. She did come to one of our events. Some people don't know that I'm Somali. Maybe some people know that we do support Somali people, but I feel like our organization, I'm more just trying to help like marginalized and like everybody. I'm not sticking to Somali people, you know?
Is that important for you to?
It's important for me because at the end of the day, when someone loses somebody, our neighbors are a Jamaican, our neighbors are someone that's Trini, like these are our peers. So we need to work together. Mm. We're not supposed to just be segregated. Like we're affected by the same things. Mm. So we had a mother's retreat last year and this year. The first year we brought all Somali moms, and this year I brought like a mom from Jamaica, a mom from Sudan, just because we all live in the same places, we're all going through the same things, we can all grieve together and learn how to like support each other as one, you know?
Yeah. So it's kind of like all together.
Yeah, but I know that they do have this perception of Somali people, but we're breaking that barrier, you know? Mm-hmm. I grew up under the same circumstances, so they can see that it's not all like that, you know?
Yeah. And what would make you happy, like, right now? What's something that would make you happy? Maybe a dollar amount or maybe, you know, reaching a certain amount of people. What would make you happy right now? Because I know you feel fulfilled. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Okay. So what more do you feel like you're looking for in the future to really break the barrier and pull more people together for your movement?
I think, like, eventually have spaces in different countries. Like, I know we have a lot of Somali people in Minnesota. I know we have a lot of Muslim people in like London. So I feel with the Feed the Fasting project, I would want to go to like Philly or just go to places where people have lost people and that want to give back, because this is something that everybody would want to do.
Yeah.
It's just, we don't have the opportunity to like go to these places. But I think just having a space, different spaces, and being able to like go international. I want to be able to give on like a higher scale. I want to be like those organizations that can collect like 20 people and we go back to a village and we all back.
Like UNICEF or something?
Yeah, like why can't we do that?
Yeah.
I want to do that.
You can, of course.
Like,
and you're
imagine.
Already doing it.
Yeah.
And obviously this community, but I'm sure you'll be able to do it. I think so.
I think that'd be cool.
I think so. But talk to me about obviously just like, you know, losing your brother, of course. I know that probably was traumatic and traumatizing. And what was that like? Like, how did you, you know, draw positivity from that? That's kind of a negative thing, of course.
It's a little bit of shock, I would say, because no one expects that their younger sibling's gonna pass away before them. And it being from gun violence, it's like he was so innocent and didn't really know too much about that life. So it's kind of like so sad that that's the way that he passed away. So I think it was more of a shock. Mm-hmm. And because I'm such a happy person, I know I wasn't gonna like stay down for a long time, you know? Yeah. But I just needed time. Like I moved out the city. I went to Hamilton for a whole year just to clear my mind.
Yeah.
You know? Because I was like, I need to focus on myself. And I can't even think about how I handled it.
Yeah, what did you do to cope? Like,
even when I heard about it, it wasn't like someone came to us and told us our brother passed away, you know? No one came and knocked on my door and told my brother passed away. I went on the news in the morning and I see CP24 and I see a white BMW shot. So I go into my brother's room and he's not there. He has a white BMW. I call his phone, he doesn't pick up. So being from Toronto, if you see on TV that someone in your house is same brand of their car got shot, you're already on high alert, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, you know what? Let me just go outside. I looked at where it was, Mississauga. I said, let me go there and find out myself. So at this point, I don't know.
You didn't even know?
No, I just was like, I gotta go outside, you know? Wow. So I just go outside, go to the spot, pull up in front of it, and I'm like, is it a four-door or two-door? Is it this person's name? They're not telling me what it is. After a while, they come to me, like after like 30 minutes, and they're just like, yeah. There's already like news on there. I look at my phone, some girl from high school messages me talking about, I'm so sorry. I go on CP24, I see my car license plate. Wow. I see distraught sister. I sold my car like a week later. Cause I'm like, why is my-
already publicized.
Yeah, I was already on. My license plate was on CP24, my car. I don't know who killed my brother. I'm already from Toronto, I'm on high alert. I don't wanna risk anything, you know?
Yeah.
So.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and that's the reality for a lot of people. That's the thing. It's not just my story. This is hundreds of other people's story, you know? So I thought about it. I said, what can I do? He helped build a school in Somalia, and I saw the community $100,000 in 3 days. So the day that we buried him, this little boy had $120,000 in his charity account.
Wow.
You know?
That's amazing.
So that pushed me. I thought about it. I said, I can either stay right at there. Home. Yeah, I could stay at home. My mom made us do like an event like a week later at like the mosque, like bring the community together. And I literally had to do it because my mom's community girl. And I'm like, I have to do it. I didn't know what to do. I made my friend come help. I made people come help. But I knew that this is real. This is real, you know? And I'm not going to put my mom on the news. So I'm going to do it the way she wants to do it. Mm-hmm. So I think a little bit of that, taking time to myself, and then people giving me grace. People left me alone, gave me time to like heal and grieve. And I kind of just like stayed away from any bad stuff. Like anyone that was on some stuff I didn't want to be on no more, like I don't want to hear it. And when talking about drama, my brother just died. I don't care about what you're talking about, you know? Respectfully, I have other things I need to deal with right now.
Yeah.
So I think that's what it was. And then even when it comes to like helping out the boys, I see it as like, my brother was the same kid that would take the bus to Jurassic Park to go watch the game outside, you know? Oh, wow. So when I can take these kids to the basketball game and for the first time ever, that's...
You remember that?
Yeah, that's what I remember, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I think more of just like trying to do all the things that I could have done for him now that I have the opportunity to do it. And I can do it for so many other people.
Wow. And, no, that's touching. And just in terms of, I guess, yeah, just, you know, the programs and stuff, how long did it take, like once you lost your brother, how long did it take to say, you know what, I'm going to start this organization?
I would say we thought of the name pretty fast. And then I think within like a few months, we went downtown and we did it like give back. Like we made like sandwiches and all these things, and I have like pictures on my phone, and people were coming, like 50 people came. So like maybe like 20 of his friends, some friends and family, like people were coming. So I think we did that a 1-2 time, and then I got introduced to other small organizations in Toronto. So then there was like an opportunity to do like a jacket give back. So I went and tapped in with like 5 different organizations, and then when I was in there, I was in then. I was like, oh, this is what people are doing, you know? And then I would slowly just try to tap into small things, and then I think just like doing retreats, that's how we started. Because even when we started it, I was like, we need to do a retreat for the mothers, because how are they going to trust us with their sons if we haven't like done anything before. So we did a retreat with moms from all over Toronto. We brought them acupuncture, massages, like a therapist out there. So it was like building connections to be able to do this work.
So it just kind of organically slowly came together.
Yeah, and then this year we started the Smile Society because someone I knew was like, yo, you need some funding. Like, I'm going to help you out with some funding and you need to start like, because everyone's like, oh, do something for us. And I'm like, you know, like when I have the capacity, I'll help you guys, you know? So he gave us some funding and that's how we started Smile Society and it's been lit.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Wow. So if not this, what would you be doing? Because I know you play ball.
Marketing. I'm not a big ball player. Like I sprained my ankle. I was trying to.
So you never played? You never played? I thought you played in like high school or something.
I played in high school.
Okay, okay.
But then high
school. How much you average?
I was on the bench. Okay, I didn't even do too much.
Okay.
I'm not even on a cap. I didn't have the confidence.
Yeah.
But now I'm ready to play.
Okay.
Now I'm ready to play.
That's what's up. Okay. So yeah, you said marketing maybe.
Marketing. Yeah, and it took me a while to even go to school. Like I didn't go back to school till I was 26. Until then, I was like kind of like doing small things. I did sociology for like a year. I worked, I was telling you, in Alberta.
Yeah.
It took a while for me to pick what I wanted. And what I did was like top 10 degrees in the next 10 years. And it was like, obviously, doctor, lawyer, this. And then it said like marketing. And I was like,
marketing was on the list?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm like, I can do that. I said, that's like 10 jobs. Yeah. You can work anywhere.
Yeah.
You know? So
yeah. What's the skill set to be good at marketing?
My professor always told us to pull on the heartstrings of the consumer. I don't know.
So a story.
Yeah. So and that's why I tell myself like I'm a digital storyteller because I like taking videos.
That's on your Instagram, right?
Yeah. And I like telling like, I'll try to tell a story. But I feel like you could show a story by visuals. And I'm not someone that like is always putting the camera in people's faces. I would rather like watch your hands doing something or watch someone like work on something. So, yeah. Okay.
So storytelling and...
But where would I be working? I don't know. Like, I think I always want to go back and, like, get my master's, maybe international, something international. That's why right now I'm doing a program at NYU for global sports management. Mm-hmm. And I really just did that just because I'm like, I want to leave Toronto and I want to see outside of the world. And I love sports. So let me see where this takes me, you know?
Okay. That's what's up. And then so in the next 10 years, where do you see yourself, I guess? That's my question.
I want to see myself with a family.
And that's the third, pray for your offspring.
Yes. Okay. I want to do that. And I want to be able to have Smile Versace, like, functioning.
Without you?
Maybe without me, yeah.
So I want automated.
I want the community. I want this to be, like, for the community. I want some like the younger kids to come in and take it over. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the goal, for this to keep on going. Because even when I think about, like, the fasting project, that's something that's going to go on even when I'm gone. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
It's above me.
Yeah.
So I think just that and just being healthy.
Okay.
Being healthy.
And what does that look like health-wise? Do you do meal preps and all that?
No, I don't do meal preps yet. I feel like... Because I feel like when you're like in the early stages of entrepreneurship or like building
Forget your food.
It's like I don't got time for a lot of stuff. Like I'm trying to eat, but
I feel you on that.
Maybe someone can make my food later. No, that's the goal.
So you're just driven. You just got your head and your focus.
Straight.
No, I feel you. I'm on the same. I feel the same way. Yeah. Honestly. Yeah. I'm just focused right now.
I love that.
Yeah, you just gotta keep going.
That's how I wanted to.
You don't know what's gonna come from it, right?
So many people asked me to be on a podcast. You asked me after 90% of these people and got it done first.
I'm flattered.
You know? That's what consistency is. That's what being real is. Like you kept it real.
No, for real.
That's why I want to go on this podcast. I'm like, I feel safe. I feel like this is like a comfortable place for me to actually tell my story.
I hope so.
No, 100%.
I hope so. And is there anything you would wanna, you know, what would you say to a young person that's growing up in the city? That wants to find themselves, that's maybe lost right now. Because I used to be lost at one point. We all kind of
were,
right?
Same. I'm still finding myself right now.
Same. And that's sometimes people, they think you have it all figured out, but we're all just trying something.
That's how I'm like, I don't even know what's going on. Like, I'm literally every day learning, you know?
It's the marketing.
You know what I really want to tell kids? I want to tell them that don't be scared to put yourself out there. The most embarrassing thing that can happen is that you posted it. That you put yourself out there. That's the worst thing that can happen. Like, nothing else is going to happen. Mm-hmm. Someone's going to send it to a group chat. Who cares? Mm-hmm. Their desk. Like, why are you sending my stuff? Like, mm-hmm. you know, like, rather support us. Mm-hmm. And then it's funny because you could be so scared to put yourself out there. and the same people you were scared of are the ones that are
already.
I don't want to say it, but you know.
Yeah. If they know, they know.
Yeah, yeah, but it's true.
Yeah, no, that's it's
true. Like, don't be afraid, and it's like just do it. Like if I told myself, I could have told the story that I told the other day 3 years ago, but I wasn't ready. Mm-hmm. So take your time and put yourself out there when it's time, you know.
Fair enough. Fair enough. And I just want to say, you know, I appreciate you being on the podcast and, you know, me being the first person to interview.
Thank you.
I'm learning myself, like, doing more one-on-one stuff. So this was really nice for me and just, like, getting, like, more background into your story.
You're making me blush.
No, for real. It's honestly, it's rewarding. And, like, I just want to continue to see where you're headed and I'm supporting you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it because this is it's definitely hard for me, but... I knew that I had to put myself out there, so I can't be given advice I'm not taking. So thank you for creating the space. I wish you like the best of luck.
Likewise.
I know that you're gonna do great things, just because your energy is different. You're not.
Thank you.
You're good. You're good.
No, thank you. But yeah, players, you guys know what to do: subscribe, like, and tap into you know what Ala got going on and Smart Versace. I love the hoodies. I'm gonna get me one. Get you one as well. Are they available online and stuff?
We're trying to do drop shipping, but we're just like a small organization trying to grow.
You guys know what to do. We gotta spread the word. Yeah. We gotta get the attention on you. And let's get you out there. Let's blow it up.
I hope so. I'm excited.
All right.
Thank you.